4 p.m. here on Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Around the world today, it's time to lift you up, it's time to celebrate.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned. And we have Ed on the boards today. How you doing, Ed?
Happy Saturday, everybody.
Happy Saturday. Glad to be here. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
What's
nice
happening?
To be here. I don't know. It was, the week went very fast, but I can't remember why.
I just think I was busy. I don't even know. I can't remember everything I did. But
I know. Crazy. It's so gorgeous. I think it's the weather is so gorgeous, and we know it's ending.
It is absolutely gorgeous.
That breeze is, whew.
Oh, yeah. I love that breeze.
Yeah.
So we have new listeners. We have Diana from Clearwater, Laura from Largo, and Nikki from Tampa.
Well, welcome, ladies. So, nice to have you.
As I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table. We have a special guest on the show today, Dylan Canterbury. He's a board-certified geriatric pharmacist and the founder of Geric RX. Hey, Dylan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Fabulous. It's so good to hear your voice.
Likewise. It's a beautiful day here in the Carolinas. I hope you're all doing good.
Yeah, it's beautiful here, too. So we met a couple of months ago, and I love when I talk to somebody and they have a story. They have a why behind what they do, because I think when you have a why behind what you do, you're more successful at it because it's just a different heart there. So instead of me giving a whole background on you, why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about you and your why and how this happened?
Yeah, for sure. So again, Linda, thank you for having me. But for those who may not know, I am Dr. Dylan Canterbury. I am a geriatric pharmacist and founder of Geriatric. And it is really a senior care consulting company focused around medication management, medication de-prescribing, so getting you off of meds safely, as well as precision medicine, where we do gene testing to avoid potential side effects. And the why is very, very real for me. My parents actually struggled with caregiving for my grandmother, who suffered from dementia. And it got so bad where they actually kicked her out of her nursing home in New York and basically forced my parents to move her in with them. Now, working full-time and raising three kids, that's a challenge. And so I've had to see them struggle through this process and just try to figure out, why is she declining? Like, why is she wandering out at night so often? Why is she hiding dentures? Why is she doing all this stuff?
Right.
That really wasn't her normal behavior. So it was really a hell for my parents for 4 months until they went to the pharmacy to refill a prescription, and the pharmacist found that she was on a medication that was completely harmful for her. And that was actually the reason why she was declining so much. So here I am seeing my grandmother struggle, my parents struggle, and we're all wondering, how much money have we spent and just trying to manage something that was completely preventable?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you this, that pharmacist stood up for us. She advocated for our family. She demanded that the doctor try to stop this medication. And eventually the doctor agreed. And so in 2 weeks, her symptoms resolved. She was back to her baseline. And it was something that just always struck a chord with me as a pharmacist, and to be that voice for those who don't feel like they have one in this caregiver space.
That's wonderful.
So you became a pharmacist after your grandma passed away?
Yes. In fact, she actually died literally the month before she turned 90 on my last day of pharmacy school. Finishing up my fourth year. So literally the month of me finishing my last day is when I found out she died.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was something that always hit a chord with me. And frankly, coming into the field, even seeing the same person, and her name was Mildred, by the way, I kept seeing the same problem with my patients in the community setting.
Right.
I worked at Walgreens as a pharmacy manager for 6 years.
On the corner of Happy and Healthy?
The corner of Happy and Insanity is how I call it.
Yeah.
It's just always a madhouse. And I just kept seeing the same problems, like duplicate therapies, unnecessary medications, people who just can't afford a med and you know they don't have the insurance. Why would you prescribe a brand name drug? And yeah. I'm like, why don't we have people advocating in this space, you know, and pharmacists are well equipped to do that. So I got honestly a bit depressed. I got a bit burned out and I got a bit frustrated in seeing healthcare basically broken in the community setting. And I'm here just charging people thousands of bucks for a medicine because they hit their donut hole. And it's heartbreaking. It's completely heartbreaking.
Oh, because you know what? You build a relationship with those people. They come in there every month. They trust the pharmacist. I always tell my caregivers, if you're not getting answers from your doctors with anything with your medications, talk to your pharmacist.
Please do. We are the most accessible healthcare professional in the entire country. Literally 90% of the entire population is within 5 miles of a pharmacist. And so we have become some of the most trusted professionals because of that accessibility. And general transparency. We don't want people on a bunch of medicine.
Right.
However, sometimes in the retail setting, we don't have the power to make those things happen.
Right.
And so I got frustrated, and it just got to a point where I was tired of being a part of the problem and just took a leap in just advocating and serving for people. And so we launched Geriatrics in the middle of COVID, and it's been a ride. It's been such a humbling journey. But now I know the impact that pharmacists can have in people's lives, further than what we do already.
Oh, it's just so huge. So, you know, I deal with caregivers every day and their loved ones, and I see so many that are over-medicated, and I see so many that, you know, nobody should be taking 19 prescriptions.
No.
And it's so common that they're taking, maybe not 19, but they're taking 10.
Right. Right.
And the doctors aren't speaking to each other.
No, that is probably one of the best things we do with our services is we become that liaison between all the other doctors for the patient's behalf. We have to meet somewhere halfway. Because you're a neurologist or a cardiovascular, it shouldn't have to be, well, it's not mine, I didn't write it, so I'm not going to touch it. It has to be a holistic approach on how we address care. And if we're not doing it as a team, then we're not going to all be in the right best interest for our patient.
Yeah, we all need a team in whatever we're doing. So how does precision medicine and gene testing prevent side effects? Explain that to me, please.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a little bit, it's kind of new to people to hear, but it's been around for a couple of decades. And unfortunately, in the beginning, it was fairly expensive, but now it's become much more accessible. So what pharmacists can do, and this is one of our signature services with Geriatrics, is we can test your gene, and we can get a report of whether the meds you're on have problems with your body. And
wow.
So instead of you having to take a pill and then go through hell for 6 months or a year and wonder if it's even working or not, we can get that information up front. And so this saves headache for the providers so they know what to prescribe. And this also saves headache and builds trust in the patient and what they're taking. And this is what's called precision medicine. So we use a cheek swab sample. It's all completely private and secure.
Uh-huh.
And then within 2 to 3 weeks, we ship that kit straight to your home, and then you get results. And I'm able to work with you, the caregiver, and the doctor to communicate what this report means and how you can have this lifelong value in case any other health conditions come up.
Wow. And anybody can get that report, can request that?
Anybody. And in fact, just so you know, Medicare, not the Medicare Advantage plan, but Medicare, TRICARE, and Medicaid, they pay for this fully. So it's no charge in terms of the test kit.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's one. You know, I'm just, I was on a big family Zoom with my family the other day. My brother has Parkinson's. And he's on a couple of medications, and then, you know, one loops out in the afternoon before the next dose comes in, and he's, like, freaking out and everything. Well, I'm very happy they're going to a new neurologist, and they're going to start from scratch, because I think, you know, he has enough issues already. He doesn't need medication issues, too. So maybe he should get this test, too.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, there is just huge variability and how people respond to the traditional treatment in Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. And we're finding more evidence showing that it is genetic related. And so there's some people where we just have to start at a higher dose or half the dose to get the same effect. And that's kind of the level of usefulness that genetic testing and precision medicine offers.
Yeah, because we're just, you know, we're having this conversation yesterday. So, okay, so he's going to go to this new doctor. Oh, and you know how it goes. We'll try this, and we'll see if this works. And if not, we'll see if we have to lower that. And if not, we see if we have to higher that, and we see if to see if we add something else. But if we could have this information first, that could make a world of difference.
But do you have to have the a list of the medications I'm on if I want to have it done?
You don't necessarily have to have that. In fact, you can not have any medications and still get a kit, and it can actually give you a detailed report of, you know, any potential blood clot disorders you may have, or any potential options for pain, cancer, anxiety, and depression. So really, you can just have it for general education and wellness.
Wow.
And now the beauty about this program, just so you know, is once we get that report, I can actually add as many drugs as I want. So say you are on your regimen, I could cross-check your drug. And if the doctor wants to play with other potential new options, I could put that in there too and see if that will be a problem in the future.
Wow. Why aren't they telling more people about this, especially if it's covered by the insurance?
Oh, that's an amazing question. So initially, the truth of the matter was it was super expensive. And it wasn't accessible. And so this was probably like early 2000s. Now, there are so many labs that offer this, and insurance is starting to catch on. And so initially, it wasn't reimbursable. So if it's not reimbursable, people aren't going to do it.
Right.
And of course, there's also the added fact that healthcare takes ages to change practice. If you're going to do what you do as a doctor, you kind of stick to your regimen. And there's some that are open-minded to look at this. There are even some that are skeptical and think this is just quackery. It's nonsense. You can't really use it. And that's completely false. There are so many trials that show the evidence of how this can really reduce costs in healthcare and build confidence for our patients' trust and satisfaction.
So what type of client? Patient, I think almost anybody. I mean, I think somebody like myself, and I'm not even on any meds, but to have that test, I mean, who's your prime person?
So honestly, I it's really anybody. I think the importance of this needs to be honestly spread loud and proud, especially if it's an access. This is how I see it, right? You go to a lab, I'm sorry, you go to your doctor's office, you get your labs drawn, you know, you get your nutrients checked, you see how things are going, your cholesterol. This is just another piece of that.
Right.
I feel like if we're not talking about that, then we're missing the full picture.
But can you, will that tell you what you're allergic to in medicines?
Not quite. So this is more specific to gene-drug interaction.
Okay.
It does tell you, for instance, if you may have some potential clotting disorders, because that's there are some genes that are related to that. So I've had some patients that have found that they've had a rare clotting disorder just from this gene report. So for instance, if they were started on your traditional warfarin, or I'm sorry, your traditional blood thinner, like clopidogrel, it wouldn't work. In fact, they could potentially have a stroke again. So this was something that we actually proved because a patient had this experience a couple of years ago without the pharmacogenomic report or the gene report. But it basically verified what happened to him when the doctors were trying to get him on the right blood thinner.
Wow. Wow, because, you know, there's so many terrible stories about the trial and errors. You know, yeah. The trial and error of some medication, like just like your grandmother. I mean, somebody that's on something that's not good for their behavior, somebody that's on something that has an interaction with something else. I mean, I think we do way too much drugs as it is.
We do. We do. And so overprescribing is a rampant problem. And we're not just talking about opioids. We're talking about stuff in children. We're talking about, you know, of course, pediatric care, ADHD meds. We never really invest our healthcare funds into preventative care.
Right.
We spend almost 98% of our Medicare and Medicaid spend on, of course, reactive care. So right. Medication costs and other healthcare costs as well. But I'll tell you this. This is an example of how important this stuff is. You know, you and I, we have a lot of similarity in our genes, but there's always that 0.1% that makes a huge difference, and that's what makes the world the world.
Yeah.
We have a really well-known blood thinner, clopidogrel or Plavix, and that's been on the market for a while, really used for people who have stroke and it thins your blood. But it's a pretty well-known fact in the medical community that there can be some different responses for people who have Asian ethnicity.
Mm.
And so this was a huge thing that was broken earlier March and February. But Bristol-Myers Squibb and Sanofi were both sued for $824 million because they failed to tell providers the importance of genetic complications with this drug.
Wow.
And so the city of Hawaii, for the entire state, sued them, and they won. And this took 2.5 years for them to get this settled, but they were able to prove that this company willfully neglected that gene testing information just to get more sales.
How sad.
And so people died in Hawaii and had strokes and heart attacks, and the companies knew that they may not even respond.
So some other people could make money.
You know it. They made billions off of that. It was a blockbuster drug. And so the 824, mind you, is a drop in the bucket for them. But that's the level of importance this has, is that there are sometimes people who don't have your best interest in healthcare. And so I come with just leveling the playing field and really just providing that health equity that's missing.
So, Doc, answer me a question. So for years, the deal was you're supposed to take a baby aspirin.
Uh-huh.
So, if you know, years ago, the doctor told my husband to take a baby aspirin to, you know, so he wouldn't have clotting and kind of thing. And
then
he told me, and I took a baby aspirin for many years. And then a while ago, my doctor said, you don't need to take any baby aspirin, Linda. What about that? Because people ask me about that all the time.
Completely agree. That's the thing. Even if you had certain health conditions like prior heart attack, prior stroke, like a known health heart condition that would maybe warrant that,
Right. Generally
you don't need to take a baby aspirin. In fact, most people don't. It's just kind of one of those things that are just thrown around. Oh, you're feeling some pain, take a little aspirin. Oh, I just take it because I know it protects my heart. And in some instances, yes, but for the most people, unless you have some of those conditions I mentioned, you don't really need it. You know, if anything, it's just kind of eating away at your stomach a little bit. If you don't have any, you know, acid reflux problems,
aren't you supposed to like keep it in your nightstand in case you feel like you're having
a stroke?
You can, and that's the thing. It's nice to have it around if you feel like you're having a heart attack, you know. And in that case, I do encourage people to take like 3 to 5, and then go straight to the hospital because
okay.
It has been shown to help if signs of like having a heart attack. Yeah, you can't just take one if you're going to have like that heart attack symptom or feeling whatever, you want to take like 3 to 5 and then just go straight to the ER. And
You're talking the 81 milligram?
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. I should have specified that.
Like, I'd take five of the 325s if I thought it would help.
God, please don't. Please
That's don't. The issue with this, Lynn. Too many meds.
I know.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I mean, yes, baby aspirin, which is 81 milligrams. 3 to 5 of those, or if you have the higher dose. But I generally advise people not to get the 325 unless told by a provider. That's at that point kind of a waste of money because the 81 milligrams does the same job as 325.
So. Oh, good to
I
know.
I have a bad stomach, so I don't take any aspirin.
Yeah, you don't need it.
Good.
Doc, please don't go away. We just need to hear from our wonderful sponsors, but I want to chat with you more, okay?
For sure. I'll be here.
All right, everybody. Stay connected. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Everyone at one time or another experiences so much stress, physical, emotional, and mental, that their brain seems to freeze in place. Lauren McLaughlin has been an emotional support coach for over 25 years and was also a caregiver for her husband John for 10 years. Emotional support coaching for caregivers is all about having the freedom to say out loud, without fear of judgment or criticism, all the random thoughts that have gone in and out of your mind. Many caregivers receive enough help in one session to create their own healing plan. Others may want a bit more coaching, but Lauren McLaughlin has a maximum limit of 3 sessions. If you sincerely want to build a new future, that much coaching will be more than enough. All sessions are on Zoom for 45 minutes. Contact Lauren by email at godbless@tampabay.rr.com to set up an appointment for your caregiver support coaching session. Caregiver support sessions were previously priced at $45. They are now available to our listeners on a love offering basis. You decide what price you want to pay for your personal session.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them bloom
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath. Sit down. Close your eyes if possible and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Yeah, when somebody asks if they can help you, say yes. Thank you very much. And you know what's really great? The masks are off. The masks are off so people can have no excuses to help their neighbor or to go over and spend a little time with their loved one. I'll tell you, the other day I spoke at a luncheon for the Honeywell retirees, and there was like 90 people there. And when I walked in the room, nobody had a mask on. And when I got up to the microphone, I was like, I feel like it's 2019. There's people here. And you just saw how happy everybody was. And there was so many people there that hadn't been out in over a year.
But you know, it was a tough year.
Yeah.
But did you notice that people got wrinkles you didn't know once they took the masks off?
Yeah, well,
I'm still wearing mine because of that.
Well, what happened is some people met people with the masks on and had never seen them, like the hospice nurse we have for Tom. I never saw her without the mask until like a week ago.
But she's young.
Yeah, but her face looks totally different without the mask. Yeah.
Well, you met a friend in the doctor's office and you didn't know
even
since
know who
grammar
it was.
School and you didn't know who it was
oh
in the mask.
God. So, Delon, you still with us?
Oh, yeah. Rocking and rolling.
Just hearing us yakking. So, what's the most common pain points for your clients and you know, how can we help them?
Oh, for sure. I think the biggest one especially is the frustration with this entire process. You know, it's the playing with the medications, it's playing with the doses, and it's the feeling like you're still being experimented on in healthcare. And in addition to that, it's the general brokenness of the way we deliver healthcare. Everything is so fragmented. You know, everyone has to go to the pharmacy for that. You have to go for this or a specialist for that. And no one crosstalks, no one communicates. And so really the people who come to me are those who are just so fed up. They are tired of feeling like these medications aren't doing anything. They're tired of so many side effects. They don't know where it's coming from. And sometimes it's a part of natural aging, but at least what we do is provide peace of mind of knowing it's not the med. And that's what we try to pride ourselves on helping people with.
See, I think sometimes people know they're over-medicated, but they just don't know what to do, and they are kind of like in that limbo.
Or if they have dementia, they don't know they're over-medicated.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. it's scary. Now, you know, we were saying before that it's covered by Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, whatever. What if it was a younger person wanted to have this test? What does the test cost about?
Oh, yeah, sure. So the test itself, usually if you have some type of insurance, the max cost is $350 with one of the companies I'm working with. I'm actually starting to open up and use other partners so that I can get them a little cheaper. But when people have just private pay insurance, it's usually about $250 for the kit.
Okay.
Then if you have no insurance?
No insurance, it's $350.
Oh, so it's doable.
It's doable.
It's doable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So What do I say to my listeners here now that think they may be having an issue with that? Should they contact you? Should they go to their pharmacist? What should they do?
Well, not everyone offers it. So even though this is a thing that pharmacists are spearheading, I'm one of the few and far between that are all vocally talking about this. So they should definitely contact me. You can check us out at geriatrics.org, which is GERIATRX as in x-ray .org, or just contact me on social media. We are all over Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. We have a geriatrics page, so you can look for me or just look for Dr. Delon Canterbury. My information is all online, so you can always contact us and we can talk about next steps for you.
Can I ask you another question, Doc? So,
sure.
Don't sometimes certain foods interact with medications?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, are you able to work on that kind of stuff too?
I am. So that's the beauty of also being a well-trained pharmacist is that you're able to spot and pinpoint the meds that do that. Particularly a well-known one is grapefruit juice, which you want to avoid with certain statins. But what a lot of people don't understand and this is what I see so often, is when people have certain herbal products or certain vitamins or natural supplements, some of them have some really strong drug interactions, really strong ones. Pretty much anything that starts with a G, they're like five. There's ginseng, golly, there's so many more. I can't even think of them. But a lot of them can have interactions with mood and anxiety medications. And a lot of them can also interact with blood thinners. And so, yeah, those are supplements, but foods are where they're derived from. And so it is important to know those things as well.
So it is very important to list your supplements with your medications.
It is crucially important. That's actually a part of our screening process, is we have to ask, what are those over-the-counters you're on? Any creams? Any, like, prescription toothpaste? What supplements are you taking?
Wow.
But we also take it further and just assess people's diet, because if you don't have a strong diet, it can really be the key to some of your health symptoms that you're complaining about at the doctor's office.
Yeah. All right. And so how about this question? So where does stuff like CBD and THC come in here?
That's a great point. Of course, we're seeing a lot of growing hype and information about it. I think it's stellar that we're finally talking more about this. Just to mention, though, there are interactions with that.
Right.
There are strains of CBD and THC that can inhibit certain pathways for other drugs to be cleared. So, again, you know, if you have a very great relationship with your doctor, you feel comfortable talking about that, I think it should be discussed. Don't be afraid. And especially if you're talking to a pharmacist, there are those that actually specialize in knowing all the pathways and how they can interact with other meds too, and there are interactions.
Sort of like alcohol and medication.
Oh yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I also think though that CBD and THC has a place, and it could be very good for some people, but they're just fearful of it.
They are, and it, because it's fairly new, there may be some concerns, but. You know, I've had some really good responses when I've seen patients try it or talk about it. I see it a good bit for RA. I've seen it used a couple times in dementia patients to help with some of the tremors or just nighttime behaviors.
Yeah.
Again, everyone's going to have a different response. And so we can't just generalize what you see on social media to everybody or whatever.
Well, it's like they say, you met one person with dementia, you met one person with dementia. You know, you met one person with Parkinson's, you met one person with Parkinson's.
Exactly.
So what's not, you know, and sometimes people are just doing what their neighbor told them, or something they saw on the news told them to take this extra thing, or they're reading Good Housekeeping magazine and tells them something else.
Right.
And I don't think anybody realizes how all the things interact, how the food interacts, how, you know, just everything interacts. And I think a lot of it, too, that interacts is lack of hydration.
Oh, man. I literally had a patient ask me about that yesterday. She was like, I've been having headaches for a couple of months, and now the doctor's trying this and that, and nothing seems to work. And my first question was literally, how much water do you drink? Oh, I don't really drink water. I like sweet tea. I was like, I don't really drink water like that. I was like, oh, well, let's talk about that. Because if we start doubling and tripling, I want you to see if there'll be a difference in your mood and in your energy and in your headache. Because that's so neglected in the older population. They are pretty much running dehydrated anyway. So I usually advise people to double or triple their intake, barring any health conditions that may be a problem if they do increase water.
Well, you know, I rarely get a headache, but occasionally I feel like I'm getting a headache, and most of the time if I drink a bottle of water.
But I think you and I drink a lot of water.
Yeah, we drink a lot of water because... Because we drink a lot of wine too, but no, I didn't say that.
Well, you know, the good trick is I found that when it's colder, I don't feel like as much water, so I keep it more room temperature.
Yeah,
because you just don't want to drink the cold, and I drink a lot more then.
You know, while we're just on this topic about drinking water and stuff, you know, I always say to my caregivers, this is a little off topic, but I think it's important to mention. Is a caregiver, if something happens to you and someone's coming in to take care of your loved one, they don't need to know, they need to know what medications they're on, but they need to know about your loved one's behaviors. So this one caregiver came in, the wife had a stroke, and a woman came in to take care of her husband, and he wouldn't drink water. She kept trying to give him bottles of water. He wouldn't drink water. Well, like 2 days later, his daughter came over and says the only water he likes is tap water with ice in it in a cup with a straw. He has dementia. That's the way he likes to drink it, and that's the way he drinks it. If the daughter didn't come over, they wouldn't have known that, and they're just arguing with this guy to try to get him to drink out of the bottle of water.
And he couldn't tell them.
No, he couldn't communicate that to them.
Yeah.
So you need to write down those notes. You know, if your loved one has his Cheerios every morning in that red bowl, and a new person comes in, they give it to him in a blue bowl, that can mess the whole day up.
I like my vodka in a tall glass. Just so you'll remember.
I love it.
But I really think that is most important. Sometimes caregivers don't realize all the different bases they cover.
Yeah.
And all the different things that go into caring for their loved one. So I just want people, because people are always so worried, you know, I'm the bomb caregiver and only I can do it. You don't know what's going to happen one day. You might not be there to be able to do it, or you might just need a little time off or whatever.
Or you don't take care of yourself and you're no longer with us.
Yeah, yeah. And then
and
the worst scenario.
You need a list of what...
Yeah.
Yeah, caregiver burnout's a real thing, guys. We cannot neglect that. It has to be addressed. And you have to find ways to protect your peace in any way you can in your day.
You know, I can remember when my mother was really ill, I remember taking her to the doctors, and sometimes we were sitting in the office, and there'd be two people sitting across from us. I wasn't sure who was the patient and who was the caregiver. Because the caregiver, to tell you the truth, looked in like they were in a whole lot worse shape than the patient.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know what happens. Mm-hmm. The caregiver doesn't make sure they're eating. They make sure the loved one's eating. The caregiver, the caregiver takes their loved one to the doctor. They don't go, I'm okay.
Don't go to the dentist. You don't do much of anything.
Yeah. So that's really important that we do all that. So, Doc, it's been so wonderful talking with you today. Tell our listeners again where they can find you.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, guys. Thank you for having me. You can reach out to me at geriatrics.org, GERIATRX.org. Check out my website. They actually have some cool tips that you can use to share and get some cost savings. If you sign up, you'll get 10 healthcare cost savings, my pharmacy secrets I've learned, and I want to share it with you. And my personal cell phone is also on my website. So you can literally text me and call me, and we can talk about what we can do for you.
Thanks so much. And we need to chat this week because we got the big conference coming up in November. The big caregiver conference, November 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And I have one spot reserved for you, Doc. So let's talk this week.
I love it. I'm looking forward to it. And I'll be there.
Thanks so much. Have a delicious day.
All righty. I will. Thanks, guys.
Now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, Answers to the Questions You Didn't Know You Needed to Ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today. Available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
And we're off. Get your pen and paper because Lynn's got good stuff to tell you.
I do. To RSVP for any of the following events, please go to lindaburhans.com. Send Linda a message and she will send you the link. At Veterans Funeral Home in the Officers Club at 830 North Belcher in Clearwater from 6 to 7:30 on the last Thursday of every month, starting on May 27th, is a Reiki exchange. Reiki practitioners, Reiki masters, or anyone interested in learning or receiving healing are welcome. On June 3rd at 11 a.m., Tam Cummings will have a Zoom webinar. What are the ADLs, that's Activities of Daily Living, and how does that change care? And then on Monday, June 14th at 11 a.m., Linda Burhans will host a journaling workshop on Zoom. And that's it for this week.
We also have, with Seasons Hospice, I have a bereavement support virtual journaling workshop, which will be Monday, June 7th at 11 a.m., so I'll have that information, too, if anybody wants to join me with that. I think it would be wonderful. We have a friend calling in a few minutes about a great event that's coming up this week. But while we're waiting for that, you know, I came up with a great idea this week. You can tell me if you think it's a great idea. Try it and think. I used to use this with my grandchildren. You know, they couldn't tell how to tell time when they were little, and they were very impatient. So I had hourglasses. You know an hourglass, the sands of an hourglass? Had one for a half hour,
like
one for 15 minutes.
Lives.
Like days of our lives. Well, my brother has Parkinson's. He's very impatient. And lots of times when he gets to the near of his medication, the end of his medication, before he takes the other dose, he's very antsy. And he can't keep track of time or whatever. So we took an hourglass and turned it over and said, just look at the hourglass and know that when that sand runs out, it's time that you can take your pill. And there's something
that's
very
relaxing watching
yes,
it.
Yes, there's something very mesmerizing about it.
My husband
very,
would break it and get it to the bottom
yeah,
right away.
Know. But they have them on Amazon in all different sizes. There's like a 5 minute,
oh, wow,
a 10 minute, or whatever. So it would even be good if, like, you know, like my sister said, she was there the other day. He asked her to do something. She said, just give me 10 minutes. He kept asking her. She's just turned the 10 minute thing. She says, just give me 10 minutes.
Wow, smart.
So it's worth a try. It's worth a try. So do we have my friend Beth on the phone?
Yes, we do. How are you?
How are you today?
I'm great. It's a beautiful day.
I'm so glad you're here. Let's tell everybody about what we got coming up.
Sure. That sounds great. So we're going to do an event online May 25th at 9 a.m. And it's called It's About Love. And it's a chance for seniors to share their love stories online in a virtual event. First time I've ever done anything like this. The reason why I'm doing this is because I believe that seniors have remarkable stories to tell.
And
it's a great chance for people to share their stories and share their wisdoms about love, relationships, and marriage.
Well, especially seniors, they kind of believe in that, in sickness and in health. Not so much like the younger ones today.
Very true. Very, very true.
So we're
limiting it to 10 people. We still have a couple slots available.
Okay.
Putting those out there for people to join in if they're available on Monday.
And tell us a little bit about the senior circle, because this came out of the senior circle, right?
Right. So Senior Circle is a project that I started. The reason behind it is that when my dad actually had Lewy body dementia, I didn't get to know my dad very well. He was the classic introvert, and he didn't talk about himself very much. So about the last 6 months of his life, I made a concerted effort to sit and ask him questions about Dad. What was it like growing up in Maine and living on a farm and things like that? And I thought it was very valuable to get those stories, partly for myself and then also for my daughter.
And for him, too, to share it.
Right, right. And he looked so surprised that I wanted to hear his stories. And I said, Dad, you have some really interesting things that happened to you in your life. And I think a lot of people would love to share those.
Yeah, yeah. And it's such a gift to have that.
Right. And I think that the power of connecting with parents and or grandparents is huge. How many times do we not know the stories of our own family members?
Right, right.
So that's the reason behind it.
Mm-hmm. So where can people find Senior Circle?
You can go to Facebook, type in Senior Circle Stories. I have a Facebook page for that. I also created a page called It's About Love, just for the It's About Love event.
And that's where they can go if somebody's interested?
Right. They can go and learn more, or they can email me at beth@douglasmarketingwork.com for more information. I'm hoping to have a series of events where people can share stories about lessons learned in life, childhood friends, just sharing stories about their memories, how people have, risen above obstacles and met challenges. And
you know what? Just it'd be interesting to say, just have a conversation about what kind of occupation you had. You know, everybody's had different jobs. There's a woman, Mama Rose. Oh, in fact, I think she's going to be part of It's About Love. And I interview her quite a bit and we talk. And her mother had a job going into women's houses, measuring them for corsets.
Oh, wow.
You know, would you ever even think about that?
Yeah.
And she was like, I swore when I would go with my mom, I was never wearing one of those, and I never did. She said, the women always look so uncomfortable.
And they were.
Yeah, I don't know how they did it. I really don't.
Well, we used to wear girdles. I don't know how we did that.
Oh, God. Craziness. Absolute crazy.
We don't do that anymore. At least I don't do that.
We just let it all hang out. That's why there's so many chubby people, because we don't wear girdles.
We're all natural ladies now.
The way it should be.
Well, hey, people still wear Spanx, and some of those girls wear things that have big butts, like cushion things,
I do,
you know?
When I like that.
You like that when you're all dressed up?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
Well, it's funny. I remember asking my mother how my grandfather had passed away. He died when I was 2, and I never got to meet him. I grew up in Maine, and he lived in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And she said, well, he had died of a heart attack. And I said, well, what led up to that? Because he was so young. And she said, well, your grandmother liked to bake pies. I said, okay.
Yeah.
She said he used lard, and it was very fattening.
Oh.
Bad for your heart, bad for your cholesterol. And I said, so grandfather died of pie?
Yeah, exactly.
Too many pies? Is that a thing? So kind of funny, though. But you don't know those stories. You don't know those interesting things about your grandparents until you ask questions. And that's my whole goal, is partly to get people talking and learning those stories.
Yeah. Yeah, I had somebody interview my mother the last 6 months before my mother passed away. And the day of my mother's memorial, the woman brought me 10 CDs of my mother. And one's, you know, with me, one with my sister, one with my daughter, one is on her faith, one... She sings all the silly songs that she used to sing to us when we were kids, and she remembered all the words that day.
Amazing, isn't it?
Amazing. So that is such a treasure to me. You know, I hear my mother laugh, and if I'm having a tough day, I put that CD in, my mother starts laughing.
She had some laugh.
Yeah, I'm like, get over it, Linda. Just get over it.
Beth, are you still in Maine?
No, I actually live in Bradenton, Florida now.
Where were you in Maine?
I was in Portland.
We had a summer cottage in Higgins Beach.
Oh, I know Higgins Beach.
It's only 8 miles from Portland.
Right.
All right, Beth. Well, I'll see you this week. Thanks so much for calling in. And if anybody is interested in It's All About Love, go to the Facebook page and sign up, and we'll chat with you this week.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a delicious day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, especially knowing Mama Rose is going to be on, it'll be fabulous.
I think Helen's going to be on, too.
Oh, lovely.
So it's you know, it's nice to hear people's stories. And that's one of the things I like about support groups. Because we start talking about, you know, when you build a relationship with the people who are in those support groups. I remember there was this one time, there was this gentleman, Dale, that used to come to the group. Years ago, this was. And when his wife passed away, they didn't have any religious affiliation. So since I'm a minister, they asked me if I would come to the cemetery and give a little chat back in the funeral home, whatever. And when I was finished speaking, I just stayed for a little while. I left. And then one of their neighbors came over and said, "Is she related to you?" And they said, he said, "No, she's from my support group." "Well, how did she know everything?" He said, "She's a good listener."
Nice.
Because I can't tell you how many times he said to me, "Yep, we moved to Florida in a 1945 Ford that took more oil than gas."
Earl.
Yeah, oil than gas. And, you know, those are the kind of things people did those days. People would be pushing cars up hills if they didn't start.
That's right.
You know, Tom tells some of those stories with his dad. You know, they were going on vacation, and they just got on a hill and popped the clutch, whatever they did, and didn't stop until they get there.
That's right. Are you going to tell your story?
I don't know. I could tell my story. I love to tell my story.
I know. It was a good story, you know, too. Not me. I just married the boss.
But, yeah, there are so many interesting stories. What were you going to say something, Ed?
Job security.
There you go. Or I didn't have to work anymore.
But, yeah, I think that's really interesting, hearing different people's jobs and just different things, because I don't even think we think about how many different jobs there are in the world, different things that people do. Like, I was just thinking the other day, I was sitting at a light, and I see this thing. It's called Bob's Barricades. They have those.
Yeah.
Well, that's some guy's company. So what does he do? He makes those things, and then he just rents them out and makes a fortune.
Do you think when he was a little boy, he said, "I'm going to do that"?
I don't know. Maybe he was one of those who had those cones in the backyard or something.
Yeah.
But you think about all the, if you look and pay attention, there's so many different jobs, different things that people do that, you know, I think for kids today, I don't know, the world is open to so many different opportunities and so much different stuff.
I think you just know about it now.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But anyway, thanks so much for being with us this week, everybody. So appreciate you. Now, next week, we will have a guest host, Becky Moultrie, my friend Becky Moultrie. And the Parkinson's Foundation will be on. I will be in Michigan, having a wonderful time with my family and relatives.
And maybe I'll be in Canada.
Yeah, we'll see. We will see. So tune in next week for a fabulous show. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day. I will be there to